Hanley book stretches right back to, I suppose, the foundation of the state.
Yes, well, it was somewhat different from your normal run-of-the-mill bookshops in Dublin or around the country.
And it didn't even have the name Connolly Books at that stage, did it?
No. It's not an Easton's or it's not a Waterstones nor a Hodges Figgis. Mm. Connolly Books originally set out, its original name was New Books, and it developed out of the struggles in the 1930s around the unemployment and in Dublin in particular. And it was also after the defeat of the Civil War, and the Republicans and the left and the Communists were looking for a new way forward through the whole 1920s, when it was a very bleak period. In the early 30s, some people got together to look at the idea of establishing a bookshop where political literature would be available to a new generation of political activists, from Republicans, Communists, trade union people, people like George Gilmore, Frank Ryan, Paddy O'Donnell, Sean Nolan, Geoffrey Palmer. These were all people who came together and they set up a small shop. It only lasted a brief period in Wine Tavern Street. And it sort of, after a period of time, it folded, and then it was re-established again in Great Strand Street on the north side of the Quays.
And Eugene, the idea was, it was obviously a radical bookshop, but how it actually came together, how it actually got the money to buy up
the books? Well, they actually created collections. Donations were made by individuals who donated books and also people who donated money. The type of people were mainly working people, so therefore the amount of money they had available to them was very, very small. So therefore it took a large number of small donations to make up the money they had. About £100, I think, at the start that they gathered to make it. It only lasted a brief period, and then it moved to North Strand, or to Great Strand Street, just there at Hipney Bridge. And then it lasted there a short while, because the building came under heavy attack, and it was completely burned out. And the people in the house, in the building, Connolly House was known as, had to flee across the top of the roofs of buildings to escape from the mobs, which had come from the pro-cathedral after being incited by sermons at the time. So people were let to flee for their lives across the roofs to escape from the mob. So then that was in the 30s, and it sort of lay dormant because of the very difficult situation that was around the time of the animal gangs and the whole 1930s, the rise of fascism. In 1942, more or less, it was re-emerged again, you know. Yeah.
And what are those other, obviously there's stories from around that time, very anti-communist feel.
Oh, well, they were fairly, oh yes, they were. I mean, at that stage there were lots of sermons from all pulpits across the city, across the country. There were people in sickles about the dangers of communism. There were statements from bishops attacking communists, people who went to Spain and fought to defend the Republican government in Spain against attack by Franco. Whenever they come back, people walked across the other side of the street from them, refused to recognise them, wouldn't shake hands with them. People couldn't get their jobs. A lot of the Irish who fought in Spain actually ended up going back to live in England, because they couldn't actually find work here, because of the blacklisting of Republican and Communist activists at that time was very, very, very strong. So it affected people's lives and families and everything else. So you end up, it was a very, very difficult period for people who had political views to stand up and say that they believe what they believed in. And right throughout the history of the bookshop, it's been a constant feature of the bookshop, has been the maintaining and publication of the writings of James Connolly, as a very strong feature of the bookshop. It was not just a bookshop, it was also a publishing company, a publishing house. So it published the writings of James Connolly, the writings of Padraig Pearse. It produced also materials, education materials, about Jim Larkin, various other sort of prominent, important people in the Irish Labour movement and the Radical movement, Liam Mellows, people like this, in the Radical Republican movement. So you had it was more than just a bookshop. It was very much an extension of it was a political
space. It was also a meeting place.
Oh, very much so. It still is today. I mean, in the past it was a place where people could come and to buy books, but also to meet like-minded people, because it was a very difficult situation. There weren't many meeting halls around. There were very few places where you could actually go and hire and have a meeting, because the meetings were broken up. I mean, there's a famous meeting in Rothmines Town Hall, which was, it ended up in a complete riot of people. There was a meeting addressed by Paddy O'Donnell, and it ended up in a complete riot in and has been attacked by the mobs. So it was very, very difficult for people to get a venue. So it ended up, the bookshop became a focal point for political activists down the country who would come up and be able to meet other activists in Dublin. And like Brendan Bain and people like that were always associated with the shop. There's a famous story of Brendan Bain was... went to Sean Nolan, who was the man who ran the shop for many, many decades, and he was beaten up quite a few times, but Johnny tells the story about Brendan Bain coming along and short of a few bob for a few beers, came in to Johnny and said he would like to buy the, he'd like to paint the shop. He painted the shelves out of the shop for him, and Johnny said, well, fair enough, but you make sure you do it, like, I know you're not going to clear off. And Brendan says, no problems, and started to paint the bookshop, and then he saw the one a rent collector coming from Dublin Corporation, and him he knew very well. And Brendan went in and said, Johnny, got to have a, want to go for something to have, and he got to have a bit of a sub. So he got a gentleman's money to the corporation man, and Brendan wasn't seen for a week because him and the corporation man went off and drank the money and ended up in Paris, you know, down on the Polish coal boat down in the docks. Because they met these, they knew there was a Polish coal boat. And they got down there and they got a load of vodka and were liquored up and ended up travelling to Paris and bumming their way back to Ireland. And then Brendan Bain turns up a couple of weeks later saying, Johnny, how's it going? And continues to paint as if there was no there was no real happening at all. Nothing had happened in between times, you know. So you had people like that, Brendan Bain. You had the very famous Padraig O'Donnell, writer and author. You had quite a few names of people who were... You had Liam O'Flaherty at one time was very much involved, and his brother and the writers. So you had quite a few people were associated with it down through the years, down through the decades. And it's been it was always a place where you could only buy, it was the only bookshop in Ireland where you could actually buy books about, for instance, like the Soviet Union or Eastern Europe, or about what was going on in, say, in India and the anti-colonial wars, war struggles against British colonialism. So you'll find books there from booklets and papers and leaflets and information about anti-colonial struggles across the world. You could have found out about the Cuban Revolution in 1959, where nowhere else would touch it. You would find materials about the Cuban Revolution. You would find materials about the sort of whole struggles in Africa, anti-apartheid struggles, and the bookshop played its own role in sending materials to political prisoners in South Africa and things. So it, down the year it has been a focal point for political action and political activities and a meeting ground, and was a common ground for Republican and socialists and communist activists, trade union activists to meet. It provided a common forum, questioning forum where they could come together. And today it still has that role. Still today you will find Republicans, communists, socialists, trade unionists will still come there. We'll still have Saturday afternoon, you still find people having a cup of coffee, anti-racist activists still talking, sharing experiences, still going on ahead. That tradition, we still maintain it. It's now expanded somewhat with a book, with a theatre attached to the bookshop at the back called New Theatre, and it's another dimension to it, that the bookshop is both cultural, political, social, all those things tied into it.
Now, for a brief period, you were based on Parliament Street, yes. And then in the late '80s, it went to Essex Street, where it's been ever since.
Yeah, we were in Pier Street for very many years, and Dublin Corporation CPO had compulsory purchased the bookshop on the pretext of expanding the fire station on Pier Street. That didn't happen for about 30 years. So it begs the question as to why it was CPO'd. I mean, it wasn't exactly in a big rush. But we moved from from Pier Street round to Parliament Street. We were there for a couple of years. And then eventually we were able to secure the premises, which were now in 43 Essex Street, the whole building. And so we locate the shop there, and that's where it has been and where it will be for the foreseeable future.
Okay. And no matter what now, because it changed its name to Connolly Books in the late 80s.
89, we felt that a lot of the books that we were stocking were also being stocked by a number of other bookshops. Political literature, a bit more space for political literature, a bit more space for alternative ideas within Ireland. Ireland began to begin open up. So we basically reverted back to what its original thrust was, so as to maintain the profile of James Connolly. So it took the name of James Connolly.
Can you get every single piece of writing from James Connolly?
Anything that's published by anything that is in print on James Connolly, we have it. We are the publishers of his writings down the years. We bought them a little pamphlet form, which we make them available for ordinary people. We have books from, well, it'll be sort of on bioterrorism from, there's a book here brought out north of England on actually on Germany in the war years.
Okay, and you've got the Ragged Trousered Philanthropist as well.
It's a very famous little book written in the 20s by a man called Robert Tressel.
Yeah.
It's a socialist novel. It's a story of painters, house painters, and the man in charge of them is talking to the apprentices. Not alone is he explaining them how to go about painting and how to finish the doors properly and paint skirting boards and floors and all this thing, but also wrapped in as a whole social education where he explains to the young apprentices and young people about the nature of our society, the nature of exploitation and how working people are exploited. So it's put in a very, it's a novel written in the form of a novel, but it's a very, very good read, and it's a very popular seller among trade union activists. Yes, very much so, even all these length of time down.
And what about the Che Guevara, the Motorcycle Diaries?
Well, they're also increasing. These are diaries written by Che Guevara and his when he's on a motorbicycle and he went around South America before he ended up in Cuba, and they're his diaries of the time, and they're very, the industry published about 10 years ago. They're very, very interesting about what he saw, and you can see his process of a revolution being, how his ideas being shaped and formed by his experience of travelling around Latin America on a motorbike. So they're very interesting books.
Before we let you go, give us some prices on first off, the Ragged Trousers.
Well, the Ragged Trousers is fairly reasonable. It's only €14. Your Motorcycle Diaries is €10. You have James Connolly's Labour and Irish History, which is a small little pamphlet, is €4. You have this book here, the history of basically the collapse of it's a political analysis of the Soviet Union or Eastern Europe, why it collapsed from communist perspective, I suppose, and that's €12. You have Bioterrorism, this is a book on sort of chemical weapons by the United States, produced by one of the Catholic publications in Britain, and that's €13. So you have different range of books. We also stock novels like sort of the contemporary poet, Irish poetry, Irish novels, Irish history, politics. So we specialise mainly in Irish history and politics, plus political literature from around the world.
Okay, Eugene, we'll have you back anyways to talk about the theatre at some stage. Eugene McCartan from Connolly Books, based on Essex Street.
Thank you very much.
Okay, don't forget, if you know the answer to the Steve Hurley question, we'll play it again in a second, but text us meter 0857 106 106. That's the tailback just past the Coombs Women's.